Well, good morning and welcome to you all gathered here in this place at McGill and Morialta and all who are watching online now or at a later time, whether you be here in Adelaide or across our state or across our nation. Welcome to you. I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, one body in many places. For Jesus says, where two or three gather in my name, I will be with them also. We light the Christ candle this morning, reminding us of the presence of Christ. The light of the world. Emmanuel, God with us, as we gather in his name into this sacred time of worship and praise. And in the spirit of reconciliation and support of the Uluru Statement of the Heart, we acknowledge that we gather on the land of the Kaurna people here in this place. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We give thanks for the opportunity for among the First Nations people who are the oldest living cultures in the world. May we walk in peace on this land with respect and care and acknowledge those who come before us and those who come after us. So today is the second Sunday of the Advent season and the theme is peace. And so we hear our call to worship. Prepare the way of peacemaker. Make the path straight. Prepare your hearts for praise. Let music sound loud as we lift our voices and sing. Prepare the world for justice. For the righteous one comes among us, and we will praise God. So let us stand, if you're able, we sing our first song, Come, O God of all the earth.
To you, O God, that day after day, year after year, we can have confidence in your love for us and in your understanding of our lives. We thank you that we find your faithfulness in your servants who have proclaimed, who still proclaim, who will complain the great news of the coming on earth of the divine way where the oppressed and the marginalised, the poor in spirit and the poor in material wealth, and all those who count for little in the way of our world will be accepted and loved. And we praise you that all people, we, are invited to lift our hearts above the trials of life and celebrate the sunrise of your arrival on the horizons of our world. O God, we celebrate the dream of peace, not only the absence of conflict, but the presence of true compassion and community. We celebrate the dream of justice, not only appropriate consequence, but radical, inclusive dignity and equality. We celebrate the dream of goodness, not only an end to corruption and evil, but the nurture of extravagant integrity and love. We celebrate the dream of salvation, not only life beyond the grave, but present wholeness and restoration for all. Here and now, O God, we, your people, give thanks and praise for the dream and the reality of shalom, the promise of the divine way. Thanks be to you, O God. Amen. Water brings us together. Water is the river moving us from one place to another. Water satisfies our thirst and springs up into life. Help us to be that woman at the well, ready to hear what it is to be rejected, ready to drink from the cup of truth. Hear us, O God, to live a life of community, flowing like torrents of water, a life of righteous action, like the stream that never dries up. Today, Jesus, serve us yet again as we gather at this table. Sorry. As we pour the water for our Advent vase, we remember our deep thirst for peace. The peace of a long soak in a hot tub after a hard day's work. The peace of stream rising around a home after home saved by sweat and sacrifice of a community of firefighters and their supporters. Peace as deep and mysterious and teeming with life as the vast ocean. The first candle of Advent reminded us that we are called to live as people of hope. We light the candle of peace to remind us to see God's peace shared in our world. Advent God, we worship you with peace. Our Advent song today, we'll sing together now seated, Breathe.
Bring to us the spirit of all. Praise us into your world.
Welcome to this time of celebration of the sacrament of Holy Communion, into which we are all invited. And if you are at home, you may wish to gather your elements of bread and wine, juice or water, to join with us as we celebrate as one in this place. The prophets foretold it, and the desert burst into bloom. Angelic messengers delivered the message of good news. A priest lost his speech. A young woman found her voice. In this season of Advent, the scriptures revive the old stories and bring new understandings. In the face of critics and skeptics, our faith cries out, resilient like a baby born from a manger bed. Bethlehem beginning, Jesus, baptized in the Jordan, spent his life serving others that all might know the compassionate love and attention of God. Today, Jesus serves us yet again as we gather at his table, as he has prepared it for us in this time and in this place. All are invited, younger, older, rich, poor, lowest and least, together in communion. Come and find your place here at this table and in this room and together, where there are no strangers nor foreigners, only brothers and sisters in the sight of God. And so we pray the great prayer of thanksgiving together. The Lord be with you. Let us lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give our thanks at this table because Jesus showed us the way. We give thanks because Jesus is the way. Jesus, a gift from God to the world. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus lived a life of thankfulness and gave his life as a sacrifice for many. We give thanks that he is the Christ, the Lord. We eat at this table because Jesus, on the night when before he died, he ate with his friends, shared a meal, broke bread and shared wine together. He gave them bread and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the same meal, Jesus took a cup of wine and said, "Drink from this cup. This is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." At this table, again, we remember. We remember Jesus' birth, his presence as Emmanuel, God with us. We remember Jesus' life and his love. We remember Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. We remember the resurrection and the promise of new life. We remember that we are awaiting in hope, in peace, love, joy, to celebrate Jesus again. And so now, in this attitude of prayer, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, be on us and upon these gifts of bread and wine today, that we may know Christ's presence, real and true, and be his faithful followers, showing his love for the world. Let us pray together. Jesus of Advent, you remain a sacred mystery to us. You have brought good news for all people, and we will not be afraid, for you are here. We are hungry for your love, which surpasses all our understanding. We are thirsty for your spirit that never runs dry. In this meal, nourish our souls. Feed our minds, quench our deepest longings. We may glorify you every day of our lives. Amen. The bread of life, the cup of Christ, the gifts of God for us, the people of God, to share together this morning. Come, for all is ready. I invite you to come via the central aisle, receive the bread and the juice, return to your seats by the wall aisle, returning your cups onto the pedestal. And all are welcome. If you wish to remain in your seat, we will bring the elements to you afterwards. Come, for all is ready. The servers come first and we'll serve them, and then you're invited. Thank you.
those who wish as well. So let's join together in prayer, and the prayer is for all of us to say together. It's on the screen. Jesus, you are truly Emmanuel, God with us. In this season of hope, peace, joy, and love, may the meal we have shared together nourish us to be your body in the world. May your divine way come, and your will be done on earth, here and now and always. Amen.
For the voices, hope for the hopeless, amen. there be peace. Let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace. Let it start in me. Let there be peace. Let it start in me.
Let there be peace. Let it start in me. Our first Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah. It's from chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up to the children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
He was a wild man, dressed in animal skins, and spoke of fire and condemnation, feisty, blunt and to the point, and some would say a bit too harsh.
That's how Matthew's gospel describes John the Baptist. Luke paints a picture of John the Baptist in a less harsh, but still brings the message of prepare the way of the Lord and points to Jesus as the coming one. Now, John was not known as John the Uniting Church or John the Church of Christ or John the Catholic or Anglican, but John was called John the Baptist, not because he belonged to the Baptist Church, but because he was a preacher. He was a prophet of God who called people to repentance and baptism, to wait for that burning fire and the axe to be laid to the tree. John was called the baptizer because he baptized people. But more than that, John was the distant cousin, older cousin of Jesus. For we are told that Mary and John's mum, Elizabeth, were relatives. In fact, it's likely that Jesus and John knew each other. And many may have even shared Christmas lunch together before Christmas became a trendy celebration of the church. Another interesting fact about John the Baptist. Did you know John the Baptist and Jesus share the same middle name? The. The Baptist, the Christ. Even Bob the Builder is a distant relative. Maybe the two boys got together on each other's birthdays, but that's just speculation and stuff of legends that are made of. But what is not legend is that later in life, according to each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and in particular Luke's Gospel, John the Baptizer had an experience of God that would change his life forever. We are told, particularly in Luke's Gospel, that the Word of God came unto John. The Word of God came to John. Have you experienced a Word of God that has come to you, or an experience of God that has come to you in your life? Many of us have. It's not often that I look at the Greek New Testament, the language in which the New Testament is written. But today it reveals something quite fascinating in understanding of what might be going on in the life of John the Baptist. The Greek says, and I don't speak Greek, I just read the interlinear version that says what the Greek says, the word of the Lord came unto John, unto, which has been translated to read, the word of the Lord happened to John. It happened to John. Other translations say that the word came to John. I like the word happened, because happen describes what took place in his life. Because happened is more like an event. It's something that takes hold of you and turns you around and changes your life. The word that happened to John was that he was to be the one who would prepare the way of the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, who happened to be Jesus, his cousin. So I want to share with you briefly a few things about preparation in the context of John the Baptist as we prepare to hear the word, and then we prepare to share the word and prepare to be changed by the word. So to hear the word, one must usually, but not always, be willing and open to hear. And that is where coming to church and to worship is an important thing and the first steps we should take of being exposed and open to the things of God. I, like you, are part of this church and the church. I grew up in a Christian environment, household. We heard the stories of Jesus and God, learned about prayer and the Bible, and we listened and shared with each other's experiences of God working in people's lives. It's a great privilege to be part of the church, to be in tune with God, but it's certainly not the only way to know God.
Sometimes others come to know God or Jesus outside the life of the experience of the church. It was the same with John. John grew up in the church, so to speak. He grew up in the temple or the synagogue. His dad was a priest. His mum was the women's fellowship coordinator. One can assume John had a grounding in the ways of God because he lived in a household of faith. A household of faith, his family went to church, to the synagogue, to the temple. John would have heard the stories of old, of Moses and David and Goliath and Noah and the big fish. Noah and the big fish? Jonah. Were you listening? Good. Just testing. Stories of the prophets of Ruth and Esther and Joshua and so on. John would have been tuned to hearing the stories and the ways of God. And when God decided to happen to John, he was ready to act. For me, 20 or more years of church life has prepared me to be open to hearing God's call when it came to being in the vocation of full-time ministry. And you see, I don't know if I would have been attuned or ready to hear if God or God's happening to me if I wasn't already part of the church. Maybe God would still zap me or whatever God does, tap you on the shoulder. Maybe my upbringing, maybe my exposure to the ways of the Christian life or being tuned to God prepared me at least to hear and to be open. And I want to encourage us all today to value our church life, value your church life. It's a privilege and a grounding for the preparation for God to happen to you. Today, yesterday, or in some not too far distant future. It leads me to the second point of being prepared and willing to share the word. John could have simply heard the word and the call to ministry and done nothing about it. History is full of people who are challenged or called by God but resist and refuse to act for whatever reasons. Jonah comes to mind, who runs the other way when God calls him to be a prophet. Jeremiah complains to God, saying he's too young. And Moses says that he can't talk properly. And I don't believe God will ever force us to do something, but God makes it hard for us to say no. Any call to ministry is a risk. Any call to serving God in the church is a risk. Because it involves faith. It involves trust. Ultimately, trust that God is calling you or happening to you, and therefore trusting God to equip and to lead. We need to be clear that the Christian life is not always an easy road. The hardest step on any journey is the first step. But if we're willing to take that first step, great things can open up. And soon we've taken many steps. Being prepared or willing to share the word is the first act and a call to go. You might think that you're too old. You might think that you're too young. You haven't got enough faith. Didn't grow up on the right side of the train tracks. You're not good enough or don't know God enough or the Bible enough. And these may be valid feelings, but God doesn't want experts. God wants people with an active and a willing heart. And people who are prepared to say yes. Like the call of Isaiah, when God asks, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah's response is, "Here I am, send me." When we put up our hand in response to God's urging call, we should be prepared to be changed by the word. My third point, be changed, prepared to be changed. The word of the Lord happened to John. It happened to me. It's happened to you. It will happen. And it probably is happening right now. As mentioned before, I like the word happened because as a meaning of an experience, the word or the call of God is an event that causes a response. A response and creates a unique opportunity for each person. The ultimate happening
of God is celebrated at this time of the year. Through the lead up to and including Christmas, where God becomes flesh and blood in the birth of Jesus. What we call the incarnation of God. God happened in the birth of Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, in a way-out stable around the back. When this happening took place, lives were changed. History was altered. Relationships healed. Life, hope, joy, and peace were born. And light shines in the darkness. We stand only a couple of weeks from the celebration of the greatest event in history, the birth of the greatest person to have lived, the event that we call Christmas. God being born in Jesus. The Word of God. John's Gospel says that the Word was with God and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. So I want to leave us with a question from today's text and a time in worship together, in particular as a lead up to Christmas. In what way does the Word of God change your life? How does Christmas impact you? How does Christmas happen to you? Christmas and this baby Jesus stuff is not make-believe. It's not a myth or fairy tale. The Word of God with a capital W is Jesus the Word. It happens. It happened to that first Christmas and lives were changed forever. It happened to John the Baptist. It happened to people as Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem and country Galilee. The Word of God happened on the hill of Calvary at Easter and lives were forever changed. It happened on Easter Sunday morning where lives were changed again. And it happened on the day of Pentecost when God poured out the Spirit to all people and lives were changed. The Word of God happens and continues to happen in millions of people over the years and lives are changed. The Word of God happens today. How does Jesus and Christmas impact your life? Right here, right now. Are you prepared to have the Word of God, Jesus, happen? Are you prepared to hear the Word? Are you prepared to share the Word? Are you prepared to be challenged and changed by the Word? To be agents of change, messengers of hope, good news, prophets of justice and joy, channels of peace and love and reconciliation, light and love. And if we open up our lives and allow the Word of God to happen within us this Advent, we will know again hope, joy, peace, and love. And so we reflect together as we sing the song, "Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love." Remain seated.
Make me a channel of your peace.
You should have received your Beyond Vision and the newsletter online. If you haven't and you want a paper copy, there's some in the foyer. There are still some of these posters out in the foyer as well. If you have friends or you'd like to drop one in to somebody along in your street or just let everybody know that what is happening here at Christmas. If you were helping at the market, please look in your pigeonhole. There might be something there for you. And the congregational meeting will be held after the service, about quarter of an hour after. Can you collect your tea and coffee in the foyer and come back into the church? Lord, we dedicate in prayer the offering, both in the bowl and online, to you and to your church. It is our way of saying yes to you and to what you are saying to us. It's a sign of our gratitude for the world around us and the life within us. We offer ourselves now in service to your divine way. For in Christ you have revealed your love for us all. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness to us in giving meaning to our lives and purpose to our living. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Spirit that we might live in you and you live in us. So that we might live in you and you live in us, so that we can do what you would have us do. As Christmas approaches, help us, Lord God, to be calm and expectant, to enjoy this time of preparing. May we budget our time as well as our money, that we might not forget you or ignore our neighbour. In our plenty, keep us mindful of those who have nothing. In our rejoicing, keep us mindful of those who are sad. In this season of giving and receiving, enable us by your grace to receive and give your love. We thank you, Lord God, for the faith you give us, the love you provide that makes life wonderful, and the hope you offer, which is not for this world alone. Today, our video from the Act of Peace is about how we are helping through the Christmas bowl. And we are helping the Syrian refugees who have had to leave their homes because of civil war. You watch the video now.
Good day. Jordan hosts more than 2.5 million Palestinian refugees. In addition to that, 1.4 million Syrian refugees who fled to Jordan back in 2012. These refugees face a lot of challenges, mainly socioeconomic challenges and problems. And recently, they are facing the challenge of securing their daily needs of food because of the high rate of inflation of prices of food worldwide and in Jordan. From here, DSPR Jordan and its partners worldwide trying to cope with these needs and securing their daily needs of food, in addition to special programs such as psychosocial support, livelihood programs, vocational training, health issues, and capacity building of these refugees. Your support means a lot to these refugees. They will not feel that they are alone. Also, at the same time, building their capacities and empowering them to be more resilient to face these challenges. Thank you all for your support, and God bless you all.
We light the peace candle. And as we pray the prayers for the Christmas bowl, Spirit of, still our spirits so that we can hear the needs of the world. Give us your heart and mind. Help us to develop compassion for those who mourn. Hear and make whole those who have suffered from trauma and the anxiety of separation. Answer the groanings of those who do not yet know how to pray with mercy. Restore those who have lost their resources and refill their lives with blessing. Enable endurance among those who wait. May we become sources of encouragement. Send your spirit upon those who face violence and conflict. Hold fast to those who cling to your promise. Amplify the efforts to bring peace, challenge the hearts of the greedy, and bless the generous. Love the world and love your people, just as you call us to love you and one another. Open us to shalom in new ways, with new understandings and new relationships. Make us people of peace in your name. We join together, stand and singing, praise with joy the world's creator, God of justice, love and peace.
So great is without sin.
So let us go not passively, but filled with an active, energizing peace. Bear fruit worthy of the gospel. Go be peacemakers in the world, clothed in the peace of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Go in love to serve the world. Amen. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.